The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, March 16th. Welcome into Morning Invest, the only morning news show that's outside of the matrix. We're unplugged from the matrix. If you want to support independent journalism and support our show, you can do so for free by subscribing to our free daily newsletter. Simply go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, and you'll be added to our list. It supports our show and helps us keep doing what we're doing. Plus, you get an awesome newsletter first thing in the morning. We got a jam-packed show for you today. We're going to be talking about stimulus and our stimulus update. Where the heck is my check? Where are our checks? Well, there are a few big issues with receiving stimulus checks right now. And guess what? This time, it's not the government's fault. We're going to tell you who's to blame. And there's a couple of other little odd nuances that we'll get to with the stimulus. Plus, a new massive stimulus package is taking shape. And a senator yesterday on a hot microphone just revealed how they plan to pass this. This was not supposed to be made public. So we have some breaking news from how senators and the White House are scrambling this morning to deal with passing this massive new infrastructure stimulus. We'll tell you about that. Plus, the mainstream media wants to blame you and your stimulus checks. Yes, you. For the decline of the U.S. dollar right now. You know, we're about to have some inflation in the United States. We're starting to see the signs of it. And it's your fault. That's what mainstream media wants you to believe. You can just read as many websites as you want right now and watch the local, you know, watch news programs because they're starting to pile up. CNBC, Fox Business, all of them. It's your fault. Good morning, everyone. Welcome into the show. I was just saying a moment ago, Grover was found the only sunny spot in my office, and instead of sleeping on his bed, he found my backpack. That's where he decided to sleep. Nope. Found the sunny spot. David is here today. Rocking and rolling. Get your super chats in now, and we will be answering your questions at the end. I've been really loving the super chat sessions at the end. We really get to dive in deep on some different questions, more clarity on things we're talking about here in the show. So awesome. Okay, so before we get into the news today, I want to tell you about our show sponsor, our friends over at Harry's. I'm a huge fan of Harry's. You know, I'm not a big fan of shaving at all. I've told you that many times. The only shaving company I use is Harry's. I love their razors and their shaving cream are off the charts good. And David, don't you use them as well?
Yes. Yep, but when I need a straight razor, that's what I have. And the cool thing is I like that you can get, so I get their hair products at Target, so you can get a lot of their products out in the stores as well if you need it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really great. And so I'm a huge fan. I mean, you don't have to choose between quality or a fair price. You don't have to choose. They give you award-winning blades at a factory direct prices. Look, when I first got my Harry's razors, I was like, oh my gosh, these are the best razors I've ever used. I got it as a gift for a friend of mine, and he's very particular, and he said, I'm literally blown away. I've been shaving for 30 years, and these are the best razors I've ever used. So I shave like 3 times a week, as you can see from my face. And when I do, like, I want a great razor that's not going to nick me or anything, and Harry's are fantastic. They bought a German blade factory so that they could control the entire process. And what's great is you're going to get a starter set and a free body wash just for $3 when you go to harrys.com/invest. That's over a $16 value for just $3. So here it is. Here's their starter pack. You're going to get it. Okay. See, they've been charging you $5 there, but you get it for $3 if you go to harrys.com/invest. harrys.com/invest to redeem your offer. It's an incredibly great deal. You'll get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shaving gel, travel cover, and a travel-size body wash. It's an incredibly great deal, but act fast while supplies last. Go to harrys.com/invest to redeem your offer. Just for listeners of my show, you're going to get it. I love the quality and close shave and very cheap refills too, only $2 for a refill. So our thanks for supporting this show. See, that's what I love. Companies that support independent journalism and support a show like this, it's really impactful. So thank you so much to our sponsors for supporting our show. And I use Harry's just about every day. I use their face wash too.
They didn't have special colors when I ordered mine. I almost want to order a new one now so that I can get some of those colors.
Get the starter pack. That's the one I use, is the orange handle one. Really nice. All right. Shall we get to the news? I think we should. Let's talk about your stimulus update now and where things stand with that $1.9 trillion stimulus. Where the heck are my checks? That's probably the question you're asking this morning. Many of you are wondering, well, what happened here? I saw in the chat I was watching before the show started, many of you saying, I didn't get mine yet. I didn't get mine. Well, it turns out if you're a Wells Fargo or a Chase Bank customer, we have an answer for you. Wells Fargo and Chase Bank are taking heat this morning for holding up the stimulus payments. Both companies tweeted out that their customers who were eligible for the stimulus would see the money in their account by March 17th. Why? A lot of people were mad, as you can imagine, because a lot of other banks made the money available right away. The banks are saying that this is an issue is out of their control because the government payments will not clear until then. Interesting. So they're blaming the government for this? Why? It's up to you to clear it. Do you not believe in the full faith and credit of the United States government? Wells Fargo and Chase? They've been bailing you out with billions of dollars. But now when it's stimulus checks for Americans, for the average person, we're not going to clear those deposits. But you're happy to take as many loans as you can get at 0% interest from the Federal Reserve. I'm sure those things clear pretty darn quickly, don't you? I love the hypocrisy. So banks that cleared customers' deposits are doing so from their own balance sheets temporarily. So again, the banks that have done this or have already cleared it are basically saying, we trust the government that these will hit the account when they should. So we're basically fronting the money as these things are in transit. Again, how come you will not do this for your customers, the American people who are suffering right now and who need those checks to pay rent, get food on the table? But you're happy to take the government's money to keep your business flowing and gunning.
Well, because when that money sits there,
take as much government money as possible.
They get that interest. They want that little bit of those extra couple days of interest when that money's not moving. That's a lot of money for them.
Yeah, it might be pennies to us, but to them, it's billions. Oh, we couldn't clear it. We're just going to wait a few days just to make sure. We'll take your interest, and then we'll clear it to your account. It's amazing, isn't it? So, you know, but many customers don't understand this banking system. They only understand that some people receive their deposits. They're all over social media saying, I got the stimmy. They're calling it the stimmy, STIMMY. If you've seen that hashtag trending, it's like, hey, I got my stimmy. And then others have to wait. Wells Fargo says that it will waive any overdraft fees that result in a waiting period. That's good. Citizens whose checks will come in paper form are going to have to wait until the end of the month to get that stimulus. Meanwhile, thanks to one of our very own, Michelle Edwards. I hope you're watching, Michelle. She watches with us every morning here in the chat. If you're in the chat, say hello, Michelle. So Michelle is a tax expert, and she had sent me some info privately about what's going on and some of the delays and things that we might be experiencing from the IRS and some little technical issues. So there's about 5 or 6 different issues. There was a known error at the IRS this week that is impacting the Where's My Refund tool. They're working on that, trying to get that fixed. So if you've been going there to try to find out what is the status of my refund and that tool is not updated, that's one issue. But there's a second part of that, which we'll get to in a second. Number two, the additions of children and dependents and the stimulus recovery is going to add a possible delay in this and getting that money out. So if you've got additional children or additional dependents, that could cause a particular delay for your check if you're wondering why is your check late. Another issue is that the IRS started that 2020 tax season already behind. Because remember, that last tax season was shut down for months at a time. They didn't get to start accepting returns until 30 days after their usual start date. Normally, you'd be able to get it in kind of at the beginning of the year. They pushed that back. A lot of people were working from home as well.
Just so you guys know, I'm here. I'm going to refresh Clayton. Clayton, your internet or something's going wonky. You were locked up.
Locked up again? Shoot.
No, you're back now.
Do you want me to do a refresh on my side?
Try going now, because I refresh the connection. If it gets bad again, then we'll have you do a reboot.
Okay. We're good now?
Yeah.
Okay. So the IRS, you'll recall, started the 2020 tax season behind. They shut down the last tax season for a period of time, and they didn't start accepting returns until 30 days after their usual start day. And you remember last year, if you remember what happened last year, of course, they shut down and everyone went home. So the IRS, there's literally tax returns were showing up at the IRS, and no one was processing them because the tax preparers or the tax filers for the IRS that go through those were at home, and your paper return was on a desk somewhere in Virginia. So if you filed from, here's the fourth point that Michelle makes here. Did you file by mail last year? Well, did the IRS say they didn't have record of your 2019 tax return? Yet you know you mailed it in. Well, odds are very high that your return actually might be in a truck underneath the IRS building. Literally in their garage, in a truck underneath the IRS building. America. And the fifth point that you want to make, the IRS is discouraging amendments to address that $10,200 unemployment. They don't want you filing an amendment for that. They're going to be determining how they're going to address this situation, and they don't have an answer for it yet, apparently. So that $10,200 tax benefit that you would get, or where you get your unemployment benefits that would be tax-free. A lot of people are wondering, should we file an amendment? And the IRS says, no, don't do that, because that could really add a whole bunch of weight and mess to the IRS right now. I just love that this, we still haven't managed to figure this stuff out. And the fact that there might be all these tax returns like in the basement of the IRS, not surprising. Not surprising at all. Well, yesterday, Democrats, want to pass, want to get this infrastructure bill rolling and burning and churning. And yesterday, Pete Buttigieg, who's now the transportation secretary, held a press conference starting to talk about this infrastructure plan and getting these pieces in place to start rolling everything out. Well, there was a hot mic moment last night we'll get to in a second. Meanwhile, Democrats want to pass a bill out of committee for the infrastructure for this massive new stimulus by Memorial Day. And they want to get President Biden to sign it by September. Though Congress is under a lot of pressure right now to try to move faster on this, it's unlikely that the White House is going to unveil its plan this month right now, because all these officials are out taking victory laps on the COVID-19 relief bill. So you want to kind of get as much press out of that as I guess you can, and then actually focus on infrastructure. Plus, they've also got this border crisis right now that's inundating the White House, a huge problem. Meanwhile, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg didn't have a timeline yesterday when he was talking to reporters that President Biden would release an infrastructure proposal. He says it'll come in short order. And he said, quote, we've got a clock on everything we're doing, especially because the present surface reauthorization is up in September. So we're not waiting until September, he says, in order to act on this. He said conversations are taking place right now, as you've seen. Oval Office meetings with the president and leaders from both parties and from both houses, Pete Buttigieg says. So they were holding this press conference with reporters, and there was still a C-SPAN camera microphone was turned on. And I don't know, you never have like private conversations in front of a microphone that you don't want made public, right? Isn't that an old lesson? So here's what happened. The microphone was still running. And if you can't hear it, don't worry. I will clarify what's being said here. But close to your screen is Senator Ben Cardin, the Democrat. And Pete Buttigieg is talking about putting these pieces together in the infrastructure plan. We're not sure how it's all going to come together just yet and how we're going to, you know, in which way we're going to try to put this together, whether it's bipartisan, et cetera, and how we're going to pass this. So here's what here's what Ben Cardin says and explains how they're going to actually get this thing passed. This was not planned. Watch. So the reporters then flipped the microphone louder. You could hear them, like, they clicked it back on because, like, wait a second, he's just dropping some bombs here. So basically, he admits, I'll replay it a little bit. I don't know how many of you could hear it. It was a little muffled to hear. But basically, he says, Republicans will be with you for a little bit on this plan, and then you're going to have to go it alone. We're going to pass this through a reconciliation process. So basically, Ben Cardin is admitting they're going to pass the infrastructure and massive stimulus without Republicans. Let's get out of here before we get more. I don't want to talk about this. We got to move on. So in many ways, this sent shockwaves because Republicans thinking, well, maybe we will work with Democrats on this. And Democrats are saying, we're going to keep the door open to working with Republicans on this next stimulus. We're going to do that. Even Jen Psaki yesterday at the press conference said, yes, we're going to keep the door open to working with Republicans on infrastructure. We know they want to be a part of this. Really? Now, they've got, as The Hill describes it this morning, quite a quagmire. And I'll kind of break it down for you. Here's the trouble for Democrats right now in trying to go it alone. Is that by going it alone through a reconciliation process, you're going to have members of your own party, like Governor or Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Kristen Sinema of Arizona, Democrats, I guess, in name, but who are not going to support a reconciliation process. Or if they do, it'll perhaps be a watered-down version of this process again. Joe Manchin has said he will not entertain any kind of a package that does not involve Republicans. Well, how else will they pass it? If they go and try to work with Republicans, they're not going to be able to cut taxes or raise taxes on the wealthy. Democrats will not support that. Democrats will not support a bill that does not raise taxes, and Republicans will not support a bill that raises taxes. So how are they going to work on a bipartisan basis to get 60 votes? It's not going to happen. So I think once again, this is going to be a reconciliation process, and it'll really come down to Joe Manchin again. And it's going to come down to, what kind of battle, what kinds of things will be watered down as a result of getting Joe Manchin on board with this thing. Republicans are not happy this morning. I mean, hearing this news that Ben Cardin's like, yeah, they'll be with you for a little while in this process, but eventually it'll be done through the reconciliation process. And Pete Buttigieg was like, okay. There's microphones around here. We're not supposed to say that. We're going to pretend like we want to work with them. But in actuality,
so what is that? That is an organized filibuster.
Right, because if you already know you're going to do it, then do it now.
It's like manufactured drama, like, political theater.
It's theater. It is. It's theater. Just pretend, get out on your little dog and pony show and pretend that you're going to be bipartisan. Pretend that you're going to work with Mitch McConnell. Pretend that you're going to work with Kevin McCarthy in the House.
And this is like what what I said like weeks ago. Like they get at this big table and they all discuss this, and they all already know what's going to happen. The Republicans are probably in on that too. Yeah, we'll be with you for a little while, and then you guys can do it through reconciliation or whatever. Just whatever holds it up for a while.
Right, and then we get a hot microphone, which tells us the truth. Right, we actually get some honesty when the microphones are turned off. Oh, imagine. And now they're probably going to try to walk that back today. You know, how are you going to walk this back? The White House declined to comment on it, by the way. And, you know, is Ben Cardin or is somebody else, is Pete Buttigieg going to walk it back and be like, no, he was just speaking out of turn. We're going to definitely try to work by in a bipartisan basis with Republicans on this. But Republicans have made it clear that they have no interest in helping you. Republicans have no interest in helping average Americans. Yet they want to take credit for pieces of it, of course. We've seen a number of Republicans now coming forward, basically trying to take credit for the stimulus bill, stimulus package, and they voted against it. Zero of them voted for it. So get ready. Infrastructure. I mean, I don't understand how Republicans could be on the other side of this argument heading into an election year, heading into 2022, where, so you're not going to support jobs? You're not going to support union jobs, yet you're telling everyone that you're the party of the working people now, right? That's their new tagline. You're not going to support new bridges and roads and rural broadband or anything. So what do you stand for? What are you going to support? Well, you were quick to jump all over the $4 trillion tax, the $4 trillion bailouts for big businesses in Wall Street. That's what you support. You were quick to line up and pass through the reconciliation process, a giant tax cut for the wealthy, $1.7 trillion tax cut for the rich in 2017. You got that down. So where do you come down on this? I don't think, and I think to David's point, like I'm sick of them just pretending. You are under no mandate to work with Republicans. And by the way, show some courage. Like if President, all this talk about President Biden could be the new FDR, really? FDR rolled over the Republicans, rolled over like a steamroller. Get out of my way. And Joe Biden is not FDR. He's not even he's not even President Lyndon Johnson passing the Great Society. If he wants to work with Republicans, it's going to be a watered down, crappy bill. And you and I both know it. How many of you right now, let me know in the chat, do you want Democrats to work with Republicans? Let me know. Do you think that bipartisanship actually matters? We keep hearing how we always want to, who cares? If we have a party that wins an election, and they win the House, they win the Senate, they win the presidency, guess what? You win. There's no consolation trophies.
Well, and they put so much emphasis on that. They're like, hey, if we win, we're going to pass things. Don't worry about it. And it's like, if that's the case, then just do it. Quit playing this theater and saying, well, we still want to kind of work with the Republicans or vice versa, you know, when they had the control. Like, it's right. It just drives me insane because it's just who ends up paying for it? The American people.
Yeah, because this, and then this like drag out period is what hurts. I mean, this is why we waited. We had so many weeks of this little dog and pony show where President Biden was meeting with Republicans at the White House. Remember, Susan Collins came to the White House and her group had meetings with Kevin McCarthy and others. And Joe Manchin admits that no one had a meeting with him. So not even meeting with Democrats. They're just meeting with Republicans and wasting time when they knew they were going to pass this thing through the reconciliation process all along. Everyone in the chat saying, no, Jody Nicholson says, heck no. Crystal Lambert says, if it helps people, just do it and get it done. I say if it helps people. Yeah, if it helps people, but it's not. It's hurting people. You know, the thing is that Wall Street and big businesses like to see camaraderie. They like things to be on an even keel. They like everyone to be like kumbaya. The things that upset Wall Street are uncertainty. And so I think that there's this idea between these corporate elites in both parties that we need to pretend that we're working together instead so we don't upset the apple cart. we don't make people a little nervous, a little anxious.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like,
I think that's the entire reason they do this.
Well, and the thing is, like, they get us, the American people, we're infighting, right? We're arguing Democrat versus Republican because that's how they put it out to us. And then in the dark of night, they're together passing military bills. They're passing things for their buddies. And in that, they all agree. They're just like, you know, they're all at the table laughing and drinking and having a good time. But when it comes to us, they keep us divided by saying, oh, the Republicans did this. And this is like what they say publicly. They pit us against each other. But then behind closed doors, they work together on the things that they want.
Right. And they don't let the media know about it. They pass it so fast. There's no scrutiny, especially in the military bill. I mean, the defense budget. You know, I often say that they're just one party. They're just one corporate, you know, oligarchy. They're run by big donors, and there's very little daylight between these two. I mean, there's very little difference between these two parties. They all, you know, bow to their corporate lords. And I have to say, this is the first time in any kind of a stimulus where we've actually seen something that could actually help poor people. I'm talking about the child tax credit. Because just sending a stimulus check is not like a remaking of the of our economic landscape, right? Just one stimulus check is not changing. That's just a nice little, here, you take your stimulus check, but we're still bailing out cities and governments, and we're funneling billions of dollars to infrastructure and businesses. So, but we'll give you the stimulus check. Just be quiet. But for the first time, we're seeing like a difference between Republicans and Democrats on one of these big policy initiatives, and that's the child tax credit, where you had Republicans not vote for something that could be transformative. Normally, I would say they're just one big oligarchy, you know, run by corporate donors. And we need people in Washington who are not bought and sold by these people. And, you know, this, I want to see how this infrastructure bill comes together and what it will actually do to help working class people in this country. That's what Joe Biden says it's going to do. It's going to be transformative. It's going to provide jobs. It's going to provide union jobs. We'll see. Green infrastructure. We'll see. Is it going to just be, is it just going to line the pockets of Wall Street green energy gurus or green energy investors? Or is it actually going to help? And don't let the mainstream media lie to you, because that's what the mainstream media is great at doing. The wealthy mainstream media right now is starting to beat their inflation, trying to scare you, trying to blame the poor people for our inflation problem right now. Listen to Karl Rove. I mean, all you need to do is watch, okay, read any of the main business publications, read up the Wall Street Journal, read any of the mainstream or watch any of the mainstream business channels like CNBC, Bloomberg, any of that stuff that love the wealthy, right? They love the rich. If you're poor, you might as well not watch those channels. They're not for you. Now you're starting to see headlines and whole segments devoted to, are these stimulus checks to blame for our inflation problem? Basically, in other words, it's your fault. It's your fault, poor people, that you wanted a stimulus check because now we're in trouble because the wealthy are starting to get a little nervous about the U.S. dollar. We're starting to get a little nervous about this inflation number hitting 2%, which, by the way, we've been warned about. But now it's your fault. These stimulus checks are your fault that we're in this position. Here's Karl Rove.
You're assuming that we're all economically rational. I can easily understand. We get the economy going. I mean, it's going to go gangbusters throughout the rest of the year. And President Biden's going to say, we spent all that money. We sit wisely. We got the economy to recover. I can make that case.
Well, yeah, sure, they will make that case. But the ordinary good sense of Americans will say, wait a minute, I'm doing okay. Why did we give me a $1,400 check? Well, you know, my college kid, student, got a check. The people in prisons got a check. Illegal aliens got a check. We got $350 billion going to state and local governments. And this is going to drive people up. Remember, what sort of got people energized about the 2009 stimulus bill was when they found out we gave money to Solyndra and the company went belly up? Well, under the state and local government, we got an emergency, right? So give them money. California will end this fiscal year with $19 billion in surplus, and this bill gives them $26 billion more. My state of Texas has a $1 billion shortfall for the next biennium. We will receive $16 billion. I met yesterday with some of the leaders of our legislature who are trying to figure out how do we spend $15 billion without putting it into the baseline of the budget. What are the one-time expenditures that we can spend this money on? New York City. We normally have a funding mechanism. There's $26 billion in this bill for urban transit systems. We have a normal process of how we normally divide that up among all the urban areas in America. This bill, because Chuck Schumer is the chairman, is the leader of the Senate, gives New York twice the normal percentage it would get out of that $26 billion. It's going to get $8 billion. It would normally get less than four. And what's happening there? We're taking money from states like, or cities like Reno and Indianapolis and Atlanta and Oklahoma City and giving it to New York to give them twice the share they deserve to have. That kind of stuff is going to stink. And then we get down to the supplemental unemployment. You're right. We're going to have a growing economy. But you and I both know it's going to be because of the private sector. The unemployment insurance has a plus up. $300 more a week for everybody who stays in unemployment. Even the government admits that over 1 million people won't be working who would otherwise be working. And that means the unemployment rate is higher than it would otherwise be. And you're going to have small business people all around the country saying, I'm trying to hire, but the government is paying people $300 more a week on top of what they normally get for unemployment. And I'm finding it hard to attract people to come to work.
It's your fault. It's all your fault. His entire piece that he wrote in the Wall Street Journal was how we will all regret these stimulus checks. We will all regret these stimulus checks. We're going to regret it because of inflation, because we're sending money to state and local governments. Their argument in a nutshell is that when we print stimulus checks, this will cause inflation. And it will cause the price of milk will go up and the value of your dollar will go down. They try to argue that rich people deal with this better because they're invested in gold and crypto and real estate, and therefore their savings isn't harmed as much as yours. But poor people, they have things in dollars. Poor people don't own real estate or gold or stocks or crypto. So therefore, inflation hits your U.S. dollars harder. Right? That's the argument. And so now we're saying this is a big problem. It's really going to hurt poor people. Because you wanted these stimulus checks, folks, it's going to hurt you. It's like having candy. You know it's not good for you. It's just going to make you fat, hurt your teeth. Same thing with stimulus checks, they're arguing. Here's the Fox Business panel having this discussion. Again, framing entire segments around now. We didn't hear about this at all before. Now suddenly all these segments are popping up on these networks. These stimulus checks are causing inflation. Who about it? These poor people wanted a stimulus check and now Wall Street's nervous. What are we doing?
Into law yesterday, $1,400 direct payments could be deposited into bank accounts as early as this weekend. Do you see this flaring up inflation the way we are seeing some market participants viewing this?
Oh. Absolutely, Maria. If you look at what happened in January, which is a $600 stimulus check, we got a 2.4% personal spending increase in the month of January. And this time we're getting $1,400, and that's for adults as well that are basically dependent on some kind of caretaker. So it's going to be more people this time at $1,400. And I do the inflationary pressure that will come and does come when people see the yields going up like that. They can take some gains and go to safety, and that's exactly what will happen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're getting the PPI today. Dominic, what's your expectations for the PPI? Are we seeing inflation on the producer level?
So far, honestly, Maria, it's actually been muted. But I think that has to do with we're not yet at a point where the economy is completely open and people are free to spend. We've talked about this in the past. We've had over 4.5 $2.5 trillion sitting in bank accounts right now without this new stimulus coming in. So there's a huge amount of capital sitting in bank accounts. People are anxious to spend that money. When they're finally free and able to do so, this larger on the good side because we haven't, the production hasn't started yet. So until that happens, until the economy gets rolling, there's going to be a lot of pressure on prices and it can only go higher.
So prices are going up, folks, because you want those checks. U.S. dollar is going down because you wanted those stimulus checks. That's what that entire segment was about. But that doesn't, that dog doesn't hunt, as we say in Texas. And I'm not from Texas, but I know that's what they say there. It doesn't hunt for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is that people are hurting right now, are dying right now. I mean, 57 people died in Texas because of their failed energy infrastructure in Texas. 57 people, that's the total this morning. Millions can't buy food. Millions can't pay rent. Rich people have gouged poor people for too long by keeping them oppressed, by charging 10 times the amount for medications in the United States than other countries, so you can reap massive profits, you pieces of garbage. Taking care, taking advantage of poor people. That is what you do. You take advantage of poor people and you give them scraps occasionally to keep them content. But your entire system is now been revealed. The emperor has no clothes. We see your system, we see your capitalist system, and we see that it sucks. And instead of taxing the rich to pay for stimulus, Republicans have actually cut taxes for the wealthy and borrowed money from other countries in order to pump $4 trillion into Wall Street. Don't fall for their crap. When you're watching these segments on in mainstream media, that's why the show, I said at the beginning, we're the only show that's unplugged from the matrix. Because if you're sitting there like a drone just watching MSNBC or CNN or Fox or any of these other networks, you're oh, inflation, U.S. dollar, stimulus checks, bad. Yeah, poor people are bad. Like a drone, you know, just sucking it in. Here's Richard Wolff, one of the brilliant economists, understands that this capitalist structure is collapsing, has been pushing for democratic social ideas for years. And the way that we take care of people is to lift people up. Medicare for all, a universal basic income in part. It lifts all boats, not just the wealthy. And here he is talking about how, you know, where we're borrowing this money from in order to basically pump it into wealthy banks and businesses. Yeah. Where are we borrowing it from?
It might strike you to know that the American government has repeatedly borrowed from foreign governments to cope with the difficulties of American capitalism that require government throwing money at the problems. The largest creditor of the United States is the People's Republic of China. And you know what that means? Every year, the American government has to tax you and me to raise money, which it doesn't and cannot use for highways or scholarships or hospital. It has to take that money and pay interest to the People's Republic of China on the borrowing the U.S. government has done from the People's Republic of China. Think about it. It's borrowed money. And what it means is that the government is even more in debt than it already was. The same Republicans who like to worry about the government debt took the lead in getting this stimulus plan through. It's money going to be thrown around at every business, large, medium, and small, and a check of $1,200. Not enough, heaven knows. But none of this is. This is all too little and too late.
That was Richard Wolff talking about the first stimulus and how hypocritical these Republicans are that love to tell us that we can't afford this, and yet they're very quick to run and support it, borrowing money from China in order to funnel it to these big banks in Wall Street. So now, when you get a stimulus check using the same methodology, the inflation problem is your fault. The mainstream media is telling you it's your fault. Don't buy it. How many of you feel like you know, oh, this is, I received this check and I really just don't need it. I don't need it. I can't use it. It won't help my family in any appreciable way. Do we ask that question of the big banks and Wall Street when we shoveled trillions of dollars to them? Karl Rove making the point, like, there's a lot of people that are just waking up today going, why did I get a check? You got a check because you meet a certain threshold based on your tax returns. That's why you got a check. And woe is me if a few Americans got stimulus checks that, you know, maybe they're not in dire straits. We're always quick to worry about when we help actual people that actually need it. Oh, well, you know, we need to lower the threshold on who gets access to these checks, like Joe Manchin wanted to. So millions fewer Americans got stimulus checks this time around, thanks to Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema of Arizona. They lowered that threshold because you're doing fine if you're making over $75,000 a year. You don't have any problems. You're not already being gouged by a system that keeps you in this perpetual state of working 60 hours a week, working two jobs, paying way more for pharmaceuticals than ever before, and a healthcare system that is incredibly expensive and doesn't work for you. Republicans, Republican talking points, these Wall Street talking point people, they are totally fine to worry about and try to play the role of populist. Oh my God, the price of milk is going up. And this is going to hurt poor people. That's why they shouldn't get a stimulus check, because of inflation. But where are they when you tell them you pay $600 a month for an inhaler for your asthma, when it costs $2 in Mexico? Where are these same politicians who are bleeding hearts now suddenly, who are concerned about the fact that you pay $8,000 a month for medication, when if you were in a socialized medicine country, if you were in France, if you were in Norway, you're in Finland, wouldn't pay anything?
Well, in hell, you can, I mean, think about the fact that you can go to Mexico and Canada and get the same drugs for next to nothing.
Exactly. But they want to, but David, they really are concerned about those milk prices. And I love when these populist Republicans suddenly get on television. They're like, we can't do this because now poor people are going to spend 5 cents more for a gallon of milk. You're really concerned about the people suddenly. Yeah. Hey, what about all those people that are, what about all the people of color, by the way, that are adversely affected by predatory lending practices at universities? Where's your populism now? Where's your bleeding heart now? You're worried about the price of milk and bread? By the way, let's be honest when we're talking about this inflation scare that they're trying to paint, it's your fault. It's 2%. It's not even 2% inflation. It's below 2%. Think about the inflation we saw in the 1980s under Reagan. I mean, think about the numbers. Totally different. 2%? And by the way, we knew this was coming anyway. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell warned us months ago. He said, we've analyzed the landscape and we've capped inflation really low for a long time. What we're going to do is allow inflation to run hot for a little bit to balance out the fact that we've had interest rates so low for so long. So we are going to allow inflation to run a little hot. His words, they are going to allow it to run hot. They have total control of this. But it's your fault. You got a stimulus check. It's your fault. Don't let them fall for it. By the way, Goldman Sachs disagrees. They don't know what to do about it. In fact, Fox yesterday was doing a segment where on Fox Business where they tried as hard as they could, I think, to downplay this. But they, in the end, had to admit that the stimulus is going to be fantastic. Goldman Sachs predicts U.S. economy will grow 8% this year, thanks to the stimulus. We've raised our GDP forecast to reflect the latest fiscal policy news and now expect an 8% growth in 2021. They've increased it. And an unemployment rate will drop to 4% at the end of 2021. And it also possibly dropped to 3.5% in 2022 and 3.2% in 2023. It's pretty darn good. That's really good. Imagine that. But it's your fault. I'm going to take your super chats in a moment here. I want to tell you about our friends. Speaking of pharmacies and wanting to save money at pharmacies, you got to check out our friends over at PillPack. These guys are amazing. So what if getting medication was super easy? Never having to wait in line, delivered right to your door. Don't even have to stop what you're doing. It's easy with Amazon Pharmacy. You can get your medication delivered just like everything else. So this is how it works. It saves you time. Amazon Pharmacy delivers your medication directly to your door. No more waiting in line at the pharmacy. It's easy. You have your doctor's office send your next prescription straight to Amazon Pharmacy. You can even use your own insurance. Amazon Pharmacy works with most insurance plans. I'm telling you, Amazon Pharmacy is upending. It's totally disrupting the pharmacy business. Because it's Amazon, you know it's going to be easy to shop and understand prices. Plus, you can always speak to a pharmacist right there in the app. Even better, if you're an Amazon Prime member, you get free two-day delivery and you save on your prescription medication without paying any insurance. So I think it's fantastic. I love how they make it super easy to use. The interface is super easy and it keeps track of everything inside of their app when you sign in. So it's all right there because, you know, you're trying to remember what pill did I take? No, it's all right there. That's why it's so easy. And their service is free. You only pay your co-pays. Do you guys know about Amazon Pharmacy? I'm glad I'm able to tell you about them. So here's what you do. Have your doctor's office send your next prescription to Amazon Pharmacy. Amazon Prime members can save on prescription medication when not using insurance and get free two-day delivery. You can learn more at amazon.com/invest. That's amazon.com/invest to learn more about Amazon Pharmacy. Our thanks to them. Friends at PillPack. It's a great service. All right, let's dive into some super chats here. Sorry to get fired up today. I see these headlines from these mainstream media companies. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Really? You're all of a sudden it's like when you sort of separate yourself from the matrix, like David and I, like when you start and you start to see how they mold, how these the billionaires that run all of the mainstream media, how they basically craft propaganda. That's all they do. They're just propagandists. And they're just right now picking up all these different newspapers, reading these different headlines about the stimulus. I mean, we even saw that they were trying to lower the number of stimulus checks. Remember a few months ago, a lot of the mainstream media organizations were like, you know, maybe $1,400 stimulus checks is just not good. We shouldn't do it. It's going to hurt people more than help them. It's crazy to watch that happen. All right, let me check out your super chats here.
We got 11 new members today. So Roy Stone.
How do you become a new member? How do you become a new member of our channel and unplug from the matrix?
You go to morninginvest.com/join, Clayton.
That's right. And you can become a channel member for less than a cup of coffee per month. Grover, and you, by the way, you support Grover. Everyone would say, where was Grover today? I said, he found a sunny spot in my office on my backpack. Like, I have a bed here for you. It's like, no, I'm just going to lay on your backpack because it's nice and warm in the sun. Yeah. Thanks, Grover. All right. 11 new members.
We got Roy Stonebrook with $2. Got one newsletter today, none yesterday. Family Hero Channel, $5. Still waiting on my taxes, but I received my stimulus. What the hell? I need all of it to keep a roof over my head.
Yeah, Jesse. And again, Family Hero Channel. By the way, Family Hero Channel. He's got a great channel. Go check out his channel, by the way. What's your name? Because I gets to hang out here a lot, so thanks for your kind feedback. Yeah, a lot of these tax returns end up being as Michelle mentioned, in trucks underneath the IRS because they haven't gotten to them yet. So your tax return might be still sitting in paper in an envelope, still in the basement of the IRS.
That's the equivalent of somebody, you know, standing there with like a food line and they're sitting there eating their food before they start serving everybody else. Says, hold on, I'm almost done with my four-course meal here and then I'll start serving you your soup.
Here's your sludge.
Israel Bannerman, $4.99. Good morning. Will there be a housing crash, particularly regarding evictions and mortgages, at the end of the stimulus in September?
I'm analyzing that data week after week right now, Israel. I think we are going to be in for a major housing problem later this year. There's a couple of key indicators that I'm watching right now. The biggest of all of them is the amount of money that people are behind on their mortgages. Because all we're doing with this forbearance, this mortgage forbearance thing, is kicking the can down the street. That's it. And we're already seeing a huge percentage of defaults. A huge percentage of those people are, like, upwards of 20 to 30% of people are behind on their mortgages now and haven't been able to make their payments over the past few months. So even with a forbearance period, it's not going to be good. And you're going to see, we could end up having a repeat of what we had in 2008 with a lot of foreclosures. And so you have a lot of investors, a lot of institutional investors who are sitting back right now, waiting, putting money in. They're not buying. They're putting money in coffers to try to pounce, to try to go after some of these foreclosures. And we're talking big buildings. We're talking like malls. That's mostly where you're going to see a lot of this problem, is big commercial buildings, like 100-unit apartment complexes, motels, things like that, where people haven't been able to pay their rent. And those people, those commercial owners, have huge mortgages. Well, guess what happens? They've default. They go into foreclosure. So there's going to be a lot, I think, most particularly in the commercial space. So, yes, I think, Israel, we're going to see that. Unless something changes, you know, unless there's some big thing in this infrastructure bill that helps people get caught up on their mortgage payments, I don't know.
Carol Meal, $5. I have a $70,000 annuity. It only pays $125 a month after taxes. Should I try to sell it to a company that buys annuities and get a lump sum? I'm 75.
Well, I can't give you financial advice, you know, Carol. I mean, it's a personal decision. What if you looked at using that as an investment? Or someone that, you know, I always think with those types of programs, think about like thinking outside the box with that. Can you use it in some other way? Maybe lend it out to somebody else for, like an interest rate. And if you don't need it, or if you want to reposition that annuity into another vehicle, maybe selling it might be an option for you. And yeah, selling it and then using that cash to invest in a better performing asset, like real estate. Rental property would be my advice. If I was in that situation, I might do that. But I just think, you know, when people have like a self-directed IRA, or they've got an IRA or something like that, think about using it differently. You know, perhaps there's someone that would want to invest in real estate. You could lend them money at a 3%, 4% interest rate that they might not be able to get access to funding normally. And you could, you know, do it that way. So shop it around, and if the price seems right and you want to use that money a different way, you want to live off that money, or you want to invest it, I think is a smart strategy. But, you know, just to have it in cash, though, is not a smart play. Like, cash is trash right now. So, you know, I mean, this is what we've been talking about here on the show. You know, to have money sitting in cash, value of a U.S. dollar is going down every day. So I'd rather you have that in some sort of other investment vehicle.
Talking Tax, thank John, you, with a $100 super chat. This is for my 1 year anniversary of watching your show. As of today, I've been watching your show for 1 year. Thank you for keeping them honest and holding them accountable for what they do to us as Americans. Much love to you and your family.
Thank you, John. Much love to you and your family. John has been here since day one. So thank you, John, for being a part of our awesome show. You're a great member of our community. And you're such a provider, too. I love that about you.
And one of our moderators. So.
Yes.
Jennifer, $5. Where's the best place to start buying gold when you're on a limited income and can't afford a minimum $5,000 investment to get started?
You're talking about Birch Gold. That's the one that I use. I would say, well, we just did a video. Why don't you go watch the video I just did? on it's called, I think the title of it is You Won't Believe What Billionaires Are Buying. So watch that video right here on my channel. I'll link it up here and I'll put a card up here if anyone wants to watch it. I'll link it up after this. This is live, so I have to do it later. Okay. What is the time on this? Just make sure I know what time it is. So we'll put that card here, but I'll also make sure it's in the description below. But it was a video we released about a few days ago, and then through Phoenix Gold Resources, I would check those guys out because what they're doing with their gold and silver mines, and basically being able to buy into them would be a great option. But yeah, you just don't want to buy. The thing is, you want to be buying real gold. So you don't want to buy paper gold. You don't want to buy stock in gold. That's not my recommendation. My personal advice is you want to buy actual gold, real gold coins. Real American Eagle gold coins are the best. And even the maple leaf, the Canadian gold maple leaves. That's what smart people are buying right now. That and a lot of people diving into crypto and real estate.
Kristen, a pretty bipolar Gemini, $9.99. Unrelated, but wondering when the best time to buy a house is for first-time home buyers. I'm buying the Come On Man mug so I can hold it up every time my husband says, does something dumb, so all day.
So all day. Come on, man. When is the best time to buy a house?
Oops, wrong one.
The best time to buy a house is when you need a house. It's like, when's the best time to buy a computer? When you need a computer. Interest rates are at historic lows, and they're only going to go up. Now with this inflation that could happen, we're going to see interest rates going higher. So that's why houses are selling within a few minutes now, and bidding wars are breaking out like crazy. People are giving no inspections just so they can have the best offer on a property. They're waiving their inspection. They're like, no, my offer, I don't want an inspection. So will you take my offer? Interest rates are historic lows, but also prices are higher. So you have to weigh that, and you just got to make sure that the house you're buying is not more than 25% of your take home income. Don't become house poor by getting a mortgage. But essentially, you're basically getting free money from a bank. 20% down at almost 0% interest right now. So if you need a house, just don't overpay and make sure that you're not putting in more than 25% of your take-home pay.
Top Digital Tube, $5. Clayton, David, and everyone, the white chocolate popcorn from Danielle's Chocolates and Popcorn is really good stuff.
Oh, good. Oh, I think I was recommending the other day. We had one of our viewers that they launched their own company during this pandemic called Snowy Popcorn. And I featured them here. Oh, Danielle's Chocolate. Yeah. So it's snowypopcorn.com. Snowypopcorn.com. I love to support. This is one of our viewers. That looks delicious.
Yeah, it looks too delicious.
I know. So, hey, if you buy from snowypopcorn.com, you're actually supporting one of our viewers. So, smart.
Fabian, $5. What is the story on voting right issues with all the bills kept by the Republicans in different states?
I'm not sure how to answer that. I mean, there's a lot of, the Texas GOP right now launched basically a whole slew of bills to try to stop voting in Texas. You had Georgia. There's all these new ballot restrictions in Georgia. These are all state laws. So folks, when we talk about like all politics is local, this is what that means. So, the Georgia GOP was not happy that they lost the Senate. So they decided to rewrite the laws down there. Where else are we've got all over the country. I mean, of course, we have this sweeping Democratic bill, but how much will we get it through? Will Republicans sign on and support it? Doubtful. you know, all of these restrictive Republican voting laws across the country. And look, the gerrymandering of districts is ridiculous. Have you ever seen some of those districts, the way that they're drawn?
Yes.
It's hilarious. Ridiculous. So we'll see. I mean, the federal voting bill, which passed in the House this month, had only Democratic support. And it would expand national voting rights significantly, but it's going to have to pass the Senate to try to end all of this partisan gerrymandering. And I wish we got rid of this gerrymandering, but, you know, it's going to have Republican support. Unless we end the filibuster, get rid of the filibuster, maybe we can pass it.
Tracy Reed, $2. Good morning. Any adult dependents get stimulus yet?
I don't know the answer to that. Checks are going out. So let me know in the chat. Did any adult dependent who's watching today get a stimulus? Let us know in the chat if anybody.
Janet Yeager, $4.99. Why doesn't the Democrats have a comeback on all the Republicans' negativity about how the stimulus was bad for us?
Janet, that's a good point. I mean, Nancy Pelosi had a pretty good comeback about it today's show. When asked about that very question. So did Bernie Sanders. I think the comeback is the checks are hitting people's account, to be honest with you. Like, you know, you're going to have people or they're going to complain about it. Sunshine, or they're going to complain about the rain. I guess the proof is in the fact that these checks are already hitting people's accounts. Like, let me ask you, where do you come down on this? Do you support Democrats in this who actually voted for the stimulus, or do you support Republicans against it? And then when it comes time to vote, and you ask, did your constituent, did your legislator care about you, or did they vote against helping you? To me, that's an easy one. Like, were you one of the members of the Senate that voted against stimulus for the American people? I'm not voting for you.
Rise up, GG.
It's an easy answer.
Member upgrade to gold. Thank you. Diana Villarreal, good morning. How are you and family? Hope you're doing fine. Say hi to Grover and Dave. I have been watching your channel for a year. Love it. Thank you. And then
you,
the
Diana.
Last
we're doing
super
well.
Chat. AC, $2. Where to start? Invest my stimulus, Forex or stocks?
I am not a fan of paper assets. And to me, that's what stocks are, as you know where I stand on that. The stocks that I do own are like blue chip companies that have been around for a long time, you know, like Apple and Ford and that type of thing, that are not going anywhere. That have billions of dollars in the bank, but I've been bullish on crypto. So I would, what I would do is here's what I would do. Here's exactly what I would do. Go to morninginvest.com/Webull, open a free Webull account, get two free stocks. Okay. You get two free stocks that they're going to deposit into your account. Now to activate your account, you just have to deposit $100 in there. You're not spending $100. You're just putting $100 in there to activate it. And that gets you your extra stocks. They'll deposit two stocks free in your account. And they're giving away premium ones also. Google, Starbucks, Facebook, Apple. So now you're ahead of the game, right? Now you've got two free stocks. And you've got an account. Now, I would, if this were me and I got a stimulus, I would put that money in that account. And I would buy, I'd look at buying some Bitcoin. Because you can buy some crypto in there. Did you see where Bitcoin went? Last week it was at 50,000. Went up to 60. It's about like at this hour, it's 55,000. And I would start looking at how to invest in some crypto and some alternative coins. And just keeping an eye on that and learning how to invest that way. That's what I would do if you're asking my opinion.
Then we got Janet Bowe, new member. And then me and my fiance switch years, claiming our dependents from MVang, $9.99. We got stimulus for our dependents twice because I haven't filed and he did. Will we have to pay it back?
I don't know if you'll have to pay it back. Talking Tax or Michelle, do you want to answer that question? As far as I know, if the IRS has made the mistake of sending you an additional stimulus, from what we heard in the last stimulus package, they're basically letting it be a bank error in your favor, like on the Monopoly board. Will you have to pay it back now if there's a mistake in this third stimulus? Like they accidentally send you two payments instead of one? I don't know. Michelle says I'm frozen.
No, you're not. That was.
Am I frozen? No. Okay. Hey, Michelle, or talking tax. What do you think there, John? Talking taxes, no, they will not have to pay it back. It's a tax credit. Yeah, it's not a payment. It's really just a credit on your taxes. That's how they're treating it. That's why the IRS is doing all this work, because it's under the tax code. So it's a tax bill. So thank you, John, for that answer.
And then Tracy Reed, please share with everyone that the previous stimulus checks can be claimed on your tax returns for your adult dependents. My friend did her taxes and did it.
Nice. So that's the recovery rebate. So if you didn't already file it for dependents earlier, that's great to know, Tracy. Thank you so much for sharing that. So if you have, wow. Yeah, I'm curious, talking tax and Michelle Edwards, maybe you can answer that question. So Tracy's saying on the previous stimulus checks, we're talking about the $600 stimulus checks and the $1,200 stimulus checks. At that time, adult dependents were not allowed. Now they are. Well, actually, the $600, too, I think they were. That was added in. But for the $1,200 back in March, that was not. Adult dependents were not part of that. So what you're saying is that, yes, you now were able to file an amendment on your tax returns, and you were able to claim those adult dependents from last year on your tax and get that as a rebate. That's great.
All right, that sums up the Super Chats.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for an awesome show today. Thanks for all of your feedback and support. We really appreciate it. If you would like to get access to our free morning newsletter, please go to morninginvest.com. We promise not to try to send you more than one copy of the newsletter. We're trying. I apologize. But it's a great newsletter, if I do say so myself. We put a lot of work into it, and it's still in inbox first thing day through Friday. Bring speed on all of the news that we think is important. All of the news to help you be unplugged from the matrix. Much love to all of you. Thanks for joining us today. We will see you back here bright and early at 9 a.m. Eastern time is when we do this show. So be sure to subscribe to the channel. Turn on that little bell notification so you're notified as soon as we go live. If you're watching us here on the YouTubes or on Twitch, you can follow us, Facebook there as well, and on Twitter as well. Much love to all of you. Have a great afternoon, everyone. Grover says goodbye as well.